Now back in Luke chapter 8, where we read, we focus tonight on the story of the woman who had the hemorrhaging, the bleeding, and Jesus' cure of this woman. So Luke 8, and let's read verse 47 and 48 especially. After Jesus had healed her, the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him, and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now what I'm going to do tonight is to use this story to help us, I hope, to think about the communion next weekend, and to think about what it means to be, or to come into, membership of a congregation and to share in the Lord's Supper. The communion is approaching, and often in the Highlands you can find in congregations, perhaps in our own congregation, people who are truly Christian. They have trusted the Lord Jesus, they're truly converted, and they go no further than that. They never become members in their congregations, and they never share in the Lord's Supper together. And I wonder if tonight anyone here is in that category, young or old. What we're asking tonight is, why not embrace, if you're a Christian, embrace church membership, and embrace on top of that every avenue of spiritual progress that God can give to you, the Lord's Supper and all the means that God gives, all the opportunities that God gives through the fellowship of his church. Why not move forward tonight? Maybe tonight God would challenge me and you to move forward. Maybe it's not church membership that's the next step, but to take the next step, to go forward, to advance, to use the word in verse, the second verse of the song we've just sung, to advance. So maybe this woman can help us tonight. And she needed help, because where we find her at first, she is in trouble, deep trouble. She is chronically ill, verse 43. She's been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And we're told in other accounts, in other Gospels, that she's had the attention of many doctors, and they haven't been able to help her. And one can only imagine the kinds of humiliations and suffering that this woman has endured at the hands of those doctors to no avail. She's worse rather than better. She's not healed, and it's a horrible situation for a woman, and it's a situation which would have made her unclean in the eyes of her family and neighbours. Troubles are not welcome. This woman, if there was anything she could have done to be rid of this bleeding, she would have done it. But there was nothing. Troubles come into our lives, and sometimes we try to fix things and normalize our lives again and get back to the way things were before the troubles. But we can't. And yet, by the time the end of the story has come, I'm absolutely certain that this woman will look back and say, "Well, were it not for my troubles, I would never have come to Jesus." Our troubles are not a waste. They're not simply an inconvenience or a difficulty that has no positive side or no benefit to be found in them. God means our troubles for good. And if our troubles have the effect that they lead us to Jesus, then we can look back and say, well, they were worth it. And however bad they were welcome if they led us to know eternal life. So she had troubles, but those troubles have brought her to Jesus. And Mark's version of the story tells us that when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him. So she has troubles, she hears about Jesus, she comes up behind him, she touches the hem of his garment. She's heard about Jesus, and she's believed in Jesus. And the troubles are what have then brought her to Jesus. And when she comes to Jesus, in verse 44, she receives benefit from Jesus. Mark tells us again that she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Or Luke tells us here, immediately her bleeding stopped. She knew that Jesus had helped her. Now we don't need to understand how Jesus helped her. We don't need to know how a miracle happens, because miracle is something that is not normal. It's out with the normal operation of physical laws. And Jesus operates by the power of God here. The power goes out from him, and she is helped. Her life is changed because of this encounter with Jesus. The troubles bring her to Jesus. She seeks his help. He meets her need. Her life is changed for the better. How many of us can say that in our own experience? That we've been through a process like that? Troubles. Jesus. We go to him. We ask his help. He steps in. He relieves the troubles, or perhaps he gives us help in the troubles, or perhaps he gives us peace or patience or whatever, and we're in a better place because we've met with him. No one was ever in a worse place for meeting with Jesus. But have we experienced that? Maybe tonight we're in trouble and we haven't gone any further than just to try and hobble along with our troubles. And that's no use, because Jesus is here. And as this woman believed in Jesus and went to him for help, so must we. And when we receive that help, we'll be in a better place. And how many of us can say that? How many of us can say that? You don't have to be a member in the church. You don't have to be some kind of outstanding example in the church to be able to say that. It may be on a very low-key level that you can say this, but you know that it was Jesus. It was Jesus who helped. And do you know what? Do you know what she does? She does something that's very familiar to us quiet Highland people. Do you know what she does? She tries to go unnoticed. Verse 47. Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And she says, she realizes that she cannot go unnoticed. But she wants to. She wants to maintain a quiet, private faith. She wants to be a person who receives benefit from Jesus, but can just keep it to herself. Now that probably sounds familiar. I think it's in the kind of psyche of people certainly indigenous to this part of the world to be like that. She doesn't want to fuss. She's got that kind of personality. She doesn't want to make a noise. Yes, she wants faith and she wants its blessings, but she doesn't want to talk about it and she doesn't want to draw attention to it. Now, is that like you? Do you want a private Jesus? Well, what happens? Does Jesus let us have him as a private saviour? Does he say to us, "Well, I did give the great commission to my church to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature and make disciples and all the rest of it. But in your case, you can just keep quiet. And you can have me, but just quietly come to church and not make a noise. And you don't need to even be known that you're a Christian. You can just have it nice and quiet. What does Jesus let her do that? What does Jesus do? What does Jesus say to any of us who are trying to keep our faith quiet? Who are trying to keep a control of it? Who are trying to keep it to ourselves? Who are trying to make it something that we don't really have to share with others? What does he say to us? Well, first of all, he's looking for her. Verse 45, who touched me? Now, he asks that knowing who she is. The disciples, of course, are a bit puzzled by Jesus asking that, because they say, well, everyone's touching you, Lord. You're in the middle of a crowd. But Jesus says, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Now, Jesus knows when power goes out from him. He doesn't help people without knowing that he's helping them. People do not draw benefit from Jesus by trusting him without him knowing that he is benefiting them. I've used an illustration before which came back to mind again, where when we were living in Plockton, there was a lead pipe from the main pipe on the street into the back of the house, and it had some kind of flaw in it. Tom Maxwell used to call it a reed. He said there was a reed on the pipe and it used to leak every so often, and it had been repaired a couple of times by DJ's dad actually, and then it burst in another new place. And I was just getting a bit tired of getting it sorted all the time. So I just left it to kind of run. And of course the water was come up to the surface and kind of just bubbling away and soaking back into the ground. And it went on for maybe a couple of months. We just let the water kind of run. I mean, it was just soaking away and wasn't doing anyone any harm. Then we had a knock at the door. And it was one of the local men who worked for, I don't know, was it Scottish Water then or whatever. He said, you've got a leak. I said, well, actually, yeah, we have. He said, 600 gallons an hour. I said, how do you know that? We can see it on our meters, he said. So, even before he'd actually gone and had a look in the garden and seen it, somehow or other, he knew that they were losing water through our faulty pipe. So we had to have it repaired, of course. They knew that water was going out of their system. And Jesus here knew that the power was going out from him. He knew. The woman may have thought she could just take the power without anyone noticing. But Jesus knew. You cannot be unnoticed to Jesus. And what does Jesus want her to do? Well, he wants her to use the language that we sometimes use of the Lord's Supper in this part of the world. He wants her to come forward. To come forward. Although he knows, I think, who's touched him, he asks this general question, who touched me? He's not going to force her. He's not going to impose himself on her. He gives her a choice. He says to her, basically, you can, if you wish, melt away in this crowd and vanish away and have no more dealings with me. I know it's difficult for you to come forward. You're a woman who's had a lot of suffering, and you've probably, over those 12 years, learned to hide yourself away more than to be in the public eye. And now that's what your instinct is again. You really just want to melt away into the crowd. But I'm saying to you, come forward. It's not going to be easy for you, and it proves not to be the case that it's easy, because it says she came, verse 47, trembling and fell at his feet. But the choice is yours. What are you going to do? And that's the choice Jesus places in every one of us, our hands. Obedience is a choice he gives to us at every stage. He doesn't make us repent. He doesn't make us believe. He doesn't make us come to the Lord's Supper. He doesn't make us get baptized. He doesn't make us tell our friends about him. He doesn't make us obey. But it's the right thing to do. And the woman does the right thing, thankfully, here. In verse 47, she comes to Jesus. She comes out into it. You can imagine the crowd sort of opening out as the woman comes forward and falls before Jesus' feet. She's come into the public domain with her trust in Jesus. This is a woman who has had trouble. This is a woman who has gone to Jesus to help her in her trouble. This is a woman who knows she's received help from Jesus. And now she has chosen to come into the public domain and declare that help. And it tells us here that she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Here's a woman who's got a story now to tell. It might be a simple story, but it's a story of Jesus helping her. And it's so personal and so precious to her. And rather than hide away with it and keep it like something sort of wrapped up in a safe place all to herself, she does what Jesus wants her to do, and she makes it public. She declares what's happened to everyone so that they can hear. So you may be in the crowd, but you're not hidden from Jesus. But it's your choice to come forward. It's your choice to come forward and touch the hem of Jesus' garment in faith. It's your choice to pray and ask for his forgiveness and salvation. It's your choice when you have a story of his help in your life. It's your choice whether or not to tell others. It's your choice whether or not to come and receive the encouragement of the elders, as this woman receives the encouragement of Jesus. It's your choice to make, to come forward and do that. It's your choice whether you come to the Lord's table. It's your choice to tell other people about what Jesus has done for you. But Jesus wants you to make all those choices. And you may not find that easy. You may not want to be the centre of attention. It may be that next weekend you may not want other people in the congregation and the community to be talking about you, saying, isn't it wonderful that you've come into the public fellowship of your brothers and sisters? Isn't it wonderful that you've come and joined them and taken the bread and the wine? You may not want people to talk about you like that. And they were certainly talking about this woman, but she's prepared to do it because of what Jesus has done. She endures it for Jesus' sake. Because now it's a matter of respect for Jesus. He wants her to do something, and she decides that if he wants her to do something, she should do it, because he wants her to do it. I mean, that's what it means to come into the body of the church, to come and join the believers at the Lord's table, because Jesus wants it. I mean, it is a strange situation in the Highlands, and probably Malcolm's sitting over there, coming from Kent, from a very different culture, wondering, you know, we approach the whole thing of church membership perhaps in a very different way. I don't know. Maybe you do. Because it's a very strange thing that we find it difficult, having become Christians, to come to the Lord's table. It should be so easy. It should be just, well, it's what we do. Because that's what they do in the New Testament. But we've got this kind of wrong path to the Lord's table that that makes it seem like some sort of extraordinarily big step, when it's what Christians do. Acts 2:42, isn't it? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread. It's what Christians do. Jesus is wanting us to come and do it. If we received benefit, salvation from him. And it's a matter of respect for Jesus. If that's what he wants us to do, that's what we do. And so she comes. It's not easy for her. There's this word trembling. It's hard for her to come. You can see in a sense she's quite mortified by the experience. In fact, it's a lot harder for her than it would be for any of you to meet with the church elders, Murdo, DJ and myself, to be encouraged by us. But she does it. She does it. Because she's got a story. She has touched the hem of Jesus' garment and Jesus has helped her. If you've got a story today, you've been helped by Jesus, whatever that story may be, it may be as simple as just that you can't get through the day without him. It might be as simple as that. It might be just that there's been a change in your life. And for example, preaching for you is no longer something that you think is for someone else. It's for you now. Maybe just simple spiritual change that's taking place in your life. And you're not yet in membership. You know what to do. You need to come and do that. Because there's a blessing in it. See, as we come to the end of the story, verse 48, Jesus says to this woman, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now, if she hadn't come forward, she would never have heard those words. If she hadn't endured the scrutiny of the crowd, she would never have received the blessing of Jesus' affirmation of her as a woman of faith who can go in peace before God. She wouldn't have received that. What an extraordinary blessing this woman receives. Words that will stay with her forever. Words about how her faith heals and her faith saves. Not words about how her works are good enough or how she's an amazing person or whatever, but words about how Jesus has saved her, about what he has done for her. And that's what we receive in the Lord's Supper, because that's what the bread and the wine are. They are demonstrations of what Jesus has done for us. And they come with words. "This is my body which is broken for you." You know, you can never hear those words if you're not at the Lord's table. You can never hear them for you. Just like she couldn't hear this word, verse 48, unless she'd actually come forward to Jesus. So, there is encouragement. There's encouragement in meeting with the elders. Elders are a very encouraging group of guys. We like to encourage people. And even if we discern that maybe there's things that you need to do in your life that before you come to the Lord's table, if there's things that you still express trouble with or difficulty with, well, what's the worst that we can do is just pray with you and encourage you and help you along the next step. And then to be at the Lord's table itself is so encouraging. It's a foretaste. Just being in the great multitude that no one can number with God forever. So, if you choose to hide in the crowd, remember, you're not hiding from the minister and the elders. You're certainly not hiding from Jesus. In fact, you can't hide. You just can't hide. Jesus knows who you are. And it's not a good thing if you're a Christian to hide in the crowd. Because the crowd here, in this story, is a crowd of people who haven't been helped by Jesus. A crowd of people who haven't come to Jesus and received his power. And it's not good to hide among those who haven't yet got help from Jesus. Because you're saying you're not a Christian. And if you are a Christian, that's not where you should be. Perhaps I can just leave it there. In the Highlands in the past, not maybe so much now, communion season was a time of great emotional intensity. And sometimes people would, I mean, I remember 20 years ago being at a communion and I was having fellowship with this elderly gentleman and I was enjoying his company, and then I was speaking to the minister about this man, and the minister said, he's not a member. Doesn't come to the Lord's table. He says, what? He's a Christian. Well, said the minister, I know he's a Christian. He knows he's a Christian, but he just doesn't quite take the step to come to the Lord's table. And every communion, he's the most miserable person there because he hasn't come forward. Can you imagine how miserable this woman would have been if she had missed that opportunity to come and declare what Jesus had done and come and hear those words of blessing which sent her on her way to eternal life? How miserable she'd have been. Don't let that be you. Don't be miserable because you're not taking the next step in spiritual obedience and discipleship. Don't be miserable. Even if it's a difficult step, even if it's one, as it says, that makes you tremble, take it. Because in it, you will receive the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. His word, the bread and the wine, the fellowship, the affirmation, the encouragement, and because you've taken that step, the chance to move on to take the next step, and then the next one, and to grow, which is what all Christian men, women, boys and girls should do.